Welcome, everybody, to Chelsea Mic'd Up, the official club podcast of Chelsea Football Club. Chris Whittingham, my neutral observer, I'll welcome you into the intro because, Chris, this is a moment in time. This has never happened. What I'm talking about is a Champions League final appearance from both the men's and the women's side in the same year, a couple weeks apart. Ladies and gentlemen, Chelsea Football Club are gargantuan. The mighty CFC, Chris.
They're the best team in the world right now. If team is measured across the men's and the women's game, Chelsea are the best team in the world.
Setting the standard with men, women, and the academy. Boom! Chelsea mic'd up. Vamos! Man, I got styley, man, I got swag. Yeah. I'll be in a blue shirt chasing a bag, long ball from the back. Okay, truth be told, listening audience, this is my third cut because I told you, I threatened all of you that I was going to be drinking something big and brown, regardless. It was either going to be a happy drunk or a sad drunk. Guess what? It's happy drunk. Oh, who planned this on the Cinco de Mayo? Who did that schedule?
Diabolical.
Makers? Oh, evil. Pure evil. I was going to find my comfort if we lost. And truth be told, I didn't think the Chelsea men were going to pull this off. I know it's not the prime Real Madrid. It's still Real Madrid in the Champions League semifinals. It's Karim Benzema. It's Sergio Ramos. It's Luka Modric. They've got stars on that team. It's Thibaut Courtois. That was interesting.
He was sensational today.
He was amazing. The goalkeeping in this tie was all world, and we'll get into Mendy and the transaction of the club football season, arguably, in Antoine Mendy. Because really turned around their fortunes, given where they were last year.
You're probably going against the other in the final in Ruben Dias to Manchester City. He's been immense for them as well.
Good job. Yeah. Good job. Wow, what a neutral take from the neutral observer, Chris Whittingham. Interesting undercurrent to Chelsea mic'd up here in the coming weeks. But, okay. I didn't think Chelsea could do it. I was hoping against hope that they would. And as the game progressed, I was like, wow. Real Madrid aren't offering anything.
Wait, you were the lazy pundit that everyone else has been during this Thomas Tuchel reign.
Tuchel. Guts. Not just from the manager, but from the executive board over at Chelsea Football Club to make the call to part ways with club legend Frank Lampard and settle on Thomas Tuchel specifically, who was a couple of months removed from taking his club, PSG, to the Champions League final. First manager in history to take two different clubs to the Champions League final in consecutive seasons. Congratulations to him. To make that move, to get the immediate results, to go through Atletico Madrid, Porto, which if you change up, honestly, if you change up the order and you go Porto, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, no bones about it. Amazing, hotly contested run. Atletico Madrid, Porto, and then Real Madrid. Who have won how many of the last seven Champions League finals? I'm asking.
It's either four or five. Four. I know it's 12 all time, I think.
Sergio Ramos just doesn't get eliminated in that competition. If he's on the pitch, he does not get eliminated. And if you watch the Spanish media, which I have, I've reveled in it. The same way that I really reveled in listening to Boston Sports Talk Radio when the Celtics lost to the Miami Heat. I'm reveling in Real Madrid media right now. Although what's happened then, Hazard, is sad on multiple fronts, right? He's just not the same player. The fitness isn't there. He's older. He took a lot of punishment. He sacrificed his body at Chelsea FC, and it seemed to have gone against his future. He was putting down payment with Chelsea to make that dream move to Real Madrid, a move that he's dreamt about as a boy. He finally goes there, and it seems as though all those fouls, all that punishment in the more physical Premier League have caught up with him, and they are mad. They are big mad at Eden Hazard. And when you have the optics of celebrating with people that you've known, but he was celebrating with Mendy. Like, he doesn't really have a history with Mendy, even though roots with the same club in France.
He could also not have been celebrating, right? If he's like having a go at Mendy, it could be like, damn, those two saves were incredible, right? Like, it could be like a sign of professional respect. But
they have Lille ties.
Yeah, I mean, in the aftermath of defeat, though, there's no smiling that looks good. And like, at least for a team that is as scrutinized as Real Madrid.
For a player that's as scrutinized as Hazard, and he is getting it. I don't want to make that the story, though. The story here is what Thomas Tuchel and these players an American player too.
Yeah.
Responsible for 2/3 of the goals here in this Champions League semifinal against Real Madrid. And we were talking about it. The season's so funny. Football is funny to watch on television. I guess I should call it soccer now that an American just bossed a game against Real Madrid. But it's a weird vibe. That stadium would have been electric tonight.
Yeah.
You wonder how fans would have changed it from goal kicks on Real Madrid to the reception. And Hazard really missed fans there at Stamford Bridge, at least on the television broadcast, because from what I saw, fans made their way to Stamford Bridge to see the players off. N'Golo Kanté.
Mm-hmm.
We're American. We'll give Christian Pulisic his due. But let's talk about N'Golo Kanté. Back-to-back man-of-the-match performances here in the Champions League semifinal. While he is fasting for religious reasons, by the way. And if you've seen the viral video of a couple seasons ago where he was pretending to take a squirt of water, not enough is made of what he puts his body through during Ramadan. And the fact that this player is scientifically, nutritionally speaking, malnourished. And he's doing that to the likes of Real Madrid, a midfield that, you know, 10 years ago, that generation's greatest midfield was Barcelona. This generation's greatest midfield, Kroos and Modric.
And Casemiro. Yeah.
That's a great argument for it. And N'Golo Kanté and Jorginho, too. Credit to him. Smart yellow, I think, early on by Jorginho. KG. But N'Golo Kanté, especially in the attack today, I know Valverde made an amazing play. We gave Thibaut Courtois credit early on, and Valverde showed N'Golo Kanté like pace, but brilliant player. This is truly, if you were to put a face on this generation, I know the last great Chelsea generation had co-faces with Didier Drogba and Frank Lampard. For me, clearly, there is one sole face of this team from this generation of Chelsea Football Club, and if they add a Champions League trophy to it, and probably so, that smiling tiny French face of N'Golo Kanté. He's a club legend. He's a football legend. He is, I hope, what Leo Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo did to define football during their era, it's sexy, right? It's the mm-hmm. attack. N'Golo Kanté is as improbable of a sports story as you can find. Measurables, you're not going to find those with N'Golo Kanté. There is no reason why he should be as world-class as he is, and yet he is, and we struggle to this day to explain it. He was brilliant in the away fixture. He was even more brilliant in the home fixture. N'Golo Kanté, hopefully now, if he wins this trophy, he's won them all. What a brilliant player.
And today really illustrated, I think, why previous managers have decided that he's not just a defensive midfielder, right? You talk about players that define a generation, define a role. The holding midfield role was defined by Claude Makélélé. It's actually called the Makélélé role, right? Like, he earned that name. He takes that and takes it a step further because he can provide more in the attack, as he did today. Plays a brilliant 1-2 with Timo Werner. Is taking players out, is in goal-scoring opportunities on a regular basis. Now, you mentioned Valverde's play, and maybe you don't want to see N'Golo Kanté be that finisher, but he pops into those positions because he is so smart. And anytime any Real Madrid player thinks, oh, I got a moment here, I can take a second, and N'Golo Kanté's onto him in a flash. Like, the middle of the field, I would say probably in the last 8 to 10 matches for Chelsea, has become a no-go zone. And I think Jorginho is feeding off of that. I've never seen him play this well defensively.
He's great.
Ever. Like, positionally, he is everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think
he's making up for his lack of pace. The angles that he takes to occupy these passing lanes. There was one key moment in this game defensively for Jorginho with Karim Benzema, in which he tracked back, marked him, and Karim Benzema got dispossessed.
Mm-hmm. Right. She showed him away from goal, and then
on
eventually.
On a yellow.
Showed him away from goal, and I think Christensen won the ball off him, and then they kept playing from there. But I think those two players were meant to play under a manager that is tactically savvy as Thomas Tuchel is, where he's giving very specific instructions about every position on the field and where we're meant to be. And I think those guys are executing the game plan flawlessly. But N'Golo Kanté deserves all the credit in the world for when he's out on that pitch, knowing exactly where to be at all times, having the industry to cover every blade of grass. You can say that about N'Golo Kanté, right? Mm-hmm. You can credit his brains while also crediting his physical attributes, which is that he is relentless. But he deserves every bit of credit that he's getting right now. And it's funny, like, you know, you see people who normally watch Spanish football that are watching this Champions League title going, oh my God, I don't see this N'Golo Kanté every week. This guy's incredible. Yeah. And Chelsea fans have the pleasure to watch him every week.
I had Real Madrid. I know plenty of Real Madrid supporters. And entering this clash, I was hyping up N'Golo Kanté. And there was that World Cup final where he was reportedly battling an illness and unfortunately gets subbed out early. And I was really bummed out about that because that was like a crowning moment for him. He was potentially a player of that tournament.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a good final, right? And you can't really tout the Super Cup performance that he had against Liverpool. I'm screaming from mountaintops, look how great he was, and no one really pays attention to that. And he really needed to showcase game for certain parts of the world. There were Madrid supporters that have seen the rumors of N'Golo Kanté potentially linked, because Zidane obviously rates him. Who doesn't rate him at this point? And they're like, why would we want that player? Now they're begging for the likes of N'Golo Kanté. They see the genius in this player, and I'm so happy you sang his praises from the mental point of the game, because we see the physical attributes, like, oh, he's short. How does he make up all this ground? Well, that guy has eight lungs. He's running at top speed. It's amazing. But he's also very smart and efficient with those calculated runs. He's just a brilliant player. For me, a player that hopefully will define a European trophy-winning season. Insane. I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around on the balance of the season, trying to figure out if Chelsea are good. It's a legitimate question.
Yeah.
If you look at the balance of the season right now, they're in a top four battle.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the domestic cup and in the FA Cup final against Leicester City, but you see how wasteful they are with their chances. Chelsea, they didn't top 40% in possession, right? They were in the 30s.
Maybe that changed in the second half just because I felt like Chelsea grew into the game, but there were points in the first half where it was like 66-34 where Real Madrid had. So yeah, I finished 68-32 actually.
If we're going through the annals of time here, recent history, is this even going to be considered? Well, a Champions League trophy tends to change history and shape history, but from a talent perspective, is this like a top 10 Chelsea team of the 21st century? Arguably, they're right on that cusp. There have been so many more talented teams. This Chelsea team was supposed to be there maybe in 3 years of suffering. They are so far ahead of schedule. And where do we dish out credit? You have KG veterans like N'Golo Kanté, Jorginho, Thiago Silva. What a bit of business that was.
Yeah.
What's the signing of the year? Is it Thiago Silva on a free transfer, or is it Edouard Mendy, handpicked by Petr Cech, to really upgrade that position? No disrespect to Kepa, but Mendy is going to win goalkeeper of this tournament, and he was absolutely brilliant between the six against Real Madrid. I don't know if I would peg this team to be a top 10 team, but in the 21st century of Chelsea's history, but I wouldn't have done that with the 2012 team either. You have to take each individual European competition at its face value. Mm-hmm. And you enter each one of these clashes tactically. How do I stop what they do? And Chelsea, in their history, if we were to look ahead, they do things very well against their upcoming opponent in the final. And Chelsea, and probably so, find themselves here on the cusp of a double. And I'm over the moon about it. Let's talk about the American. The American Christian Pulisic, where I know a lot of neutral Americans were upset Christian Pulisic was on the bench. Kai Havertz, I thought, performed admirably. Really good game from Kai Havertz. Earned the start with his weekend performance against Fulham, arguably. And you never know how Thomas Tuchel's thinking about the game defensively. And Christian Pulisic is a hell of a weapon as a super sub. And he was used as such, even though Chelsea had a 1-0 lead. And I was curious, will Thomas Tuchel use Christian Pulisic early? He did. Christian Pulisic was amazing in this game.
Yeah.
On that second goal that Chelsea scored, where he shows the patience, because Thibaut Courtois was absolutely killing Chelsea in the semifinal by coming out, using his size to his advantage. He's really evolved as a keeper, and I was worried about him as game kept changing, and he had a dip in form. He was tremendous in this tie, but Christian Pulisic using that aggressiveness against him, okay, you have the size, you're a giant, but if you go down, how quick can you get up? And he draws him out, gets him down, calls his shot, and as calmly as you've ever seen anybody play a square ball, Mason Mount, who probably struggled in the attack in this game, puts away a goal, and you have an image for the ages with Mason Mount and Christian Pulisic sliding and celebrating a goal that puts him into the Champions League final. Chris, you're the neutral observer, but you're also American. Put into context, as you have done so beautifully throughout this entire season of Chelsea Mic'd Up, what that meant for you as an American.
Well, what it meant for me, and just kind of thinking about it, because you brought up that first leg, Christian Pulisic saw the whites of the eyes of the best goalkeeper in the world and put him on ice twice.
Twice.
Like, in the first leg... Like,
did he have him scouted? Was he crunching tape?
And it's just like that first... And it's that calm and composure that, like, from an American point of view, I'm unfamiliar. I'm unaccustomed. What does that look like? Because I'm not used to seeing that from players that are American. And it's just that, like, dictating of the terms in that kind of situation. But also, so he comes on, as you mentioned, as a super sub in the last 25 minutes to kind of really, I think, take advantage of a moment in the game where Chelsea can hit Real Madrid on the counter. Chelsea created a ton of great chances tonight. And their finishing was poor, as it sometimes has been this season.
That's a book.
Right, and but
it is what it is.
It doesn't matter. You get to the final. Who cares?
And but hopefully, like, we have like a Europa League final performance like we had under Sarri ball, where you just ascend to the mean, and all of a sudden you're scoring like five goals out of nowhere.
But they created an incredible amount of chances. But for me, there was that moment where he comes in, where he can help draw fouls, where he can create some of those chances on the counterattack. And Mike, I'm seeing him play with a kind of confidence that was the post-restart period, right? Mm-hmm. This, like, dream Pulisic that we've talked about kind of in the aftermath of that moment, he's playing with that kind of verve, with that zest, with that confidence, and that's what manifests itself when he scores the tie icing goal, is that is a player surging with confidence.
We're seeing him evolve as a player, too, because Project Restart Christian Pulisic was just blazing speed. I'll play the two-man game. I have a good chemistry, but it's basically, if I'm scoring a goal, it's with my blazing speed on a counter, or I'll play a cute little two-man game here. Just him turning the corner, and Real Madrid having, I'll chest the ball down, I'll have the touch to chest the ball down, play it with my right, and take a long way off my off shoulder, loop around you, and know that I can do this faster than you can realize that you have to turn your hips to try to cut me off. It's just a skill, a speed that we haven't seen from an American at this level in the attack.
And Chelsea sometimes, the Chelsea attackers sometimes have a difficult role to play in the system because it is a back five with two holding midfielders, right? Like, there are times where they're disconnected from the back. And so there was another instance as well where there wasn't really a passing option on for Christian Pulisic, so he just took a shot. But in that moment, to kind of like buy yourself some time so that your fellow attackers can join you, so that Mason Mount can make that ghosting back post run and just have a tap in, like, to create that opportunity requires more than just the footballing skill that you describe, which I think of that goal against Crystal Palace away in the post-restart period, which is running at the right back, touch around him, fire it with every bit of power that you have beyond the keeper, goal. But like, this was a deft amount of skill. This was a remarkable amount of patience to fashion this opportunity. And now you're heading in towards a Champions League final where an American will win. Crazy. And like, an American will win the Champions League. I mean, it'll, like, if Zach Steffen wins,
it's
not the same kind of achievement.
Yeah, it's not.
But still, like, Christian Pulisic being one of the key reasons why, again, and I looked it up, they've won four of the last seven Champions League. This is Real Madrid in the Champions League semifinal. Christian Pulisic is young, and he's still got, presumably, an amount of growing to do, because he's had,
and we're seeing the growth,
because he's had in spurts.
Yeah, we've seen the growth already year over year.
He's had the spurts. Now I think the next step for Christian Pulisic is to do it over an entire season, right? So he's one of the relied upon attackers. He can absolutely be that guy. He just has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And so again, you're heading towards a stretch run of a season where it's like, I can't believe this guy's American.
I'm going to ask you after I get my answer to my own question, but I trusted Thomas Tuchel with the decision to bring Christian Pulisic off the bench. Why? Because he's proven that I should trust him.
The only reason why, like, I was like doubting it a little bit was because, like, this guy's your best attacker. What are you doing? Like, I felt like you rested him at the weekend to have him ready for this game, and then you kind of punished him for resting him because Kai Havertz had such a good game that he merited a start. But it's just like, he's one of your three best attackers. I'm sorry. Like,
Havertz was good despite wasting four legitimate chances.
Right. I mean, yeah.
He was gassed towards the end of the game. So many players were gassed. That was my main takeaway.
Yeah.
So many
players. They gave everything.
Azpilicueta was like hands on knees like minute 60.
Yeah.
I mean, his lips were purple.
You talk about like N'Golo Kante being the shining face of his era. The weary, sweaty, exhausted face of Cesar Azpilicueta deserves to be part of that as well.
Sing his name when there's a packed house at Stamford Bridge. Yeah. Dave has been incredible. I mean, there were games where he was like starting as a left winger. in Chelsea's history. Like, he's moved all around the pitch. Center back. What job do you need? Wing back, sure. I got it. And we were laughing at seeing him try to defend Eden Hazard, and you can just see him teleport back to training sessions past. It's like, I gotta contort my body. It's like a caveman hunting down prey. The Cretaceous period. It was like incredible.
The faces that he was making in defending Eden Hazard were laugh out loud funny.
Great
camera
work.
Like the intensity is surging through his face.
Yeah,
like he just every body
he looked
is
at Tuchel, and the cameras caught it. And Tuchel immediately pointed at Reece.
Go, do stretches, do something.
Yeah.
And by the way, it wasn't until that second goal was scored by Chelsea that Tuchel finally took off Azpilicueta. I think as much as like, Reece, go get ready, like the cavalry is coming, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Tuchel was going to take Azpilicueta off until the game was in hand.
Yeah.
Like, I think Tuchel trusts him more than he trusts just about anyone in this
Look,
side.
I think Mason Mount, deservedly so, will probably win player of the season. And this is the second straight year I'll bang the hipster drum of Azpilicueta. I mean, you keep trying to push him out the door.
In the move to the new system, he's been fundamental to making it work.
Incredible. Another player that's totally reshaped himself and changed opinions. And now, if they win this game, or even, look, getting to the final, it's such a massive deal. The eyes of the world descend upon you. Even entering the semifinal, I was nervous, obviously. I wanted it. But what a run. I was okay.
Yeah.
If we get smited by Real Madrid in the Champions League semifinal, what a season. But now, is Antonio Rudiger a Chelsea legend? Like, is Jorginho a Chelsea legend? Is Thiago Silva already a Chelsea legend? And they put in performances that are the stuff of legend. Like, look, Raul Morales is not a Chelsea legend, but he's looked upon fondly. And those Rudiger runs... The speed where he looks quite literally like he has a rocket strapped to his back. His posture is weird. You have so many players who have been criticized on social media unfairly about not giving all their effort. What I saw on players' faces, what I saw dripping off their person. That was a team that gave it their absolute all and had to. And by the way, we kept saying they have to be perfect. They didn't make any mistakes in the back. They made one in the first leg. They survived it. Mendy was brilliant today. They didn't make the big mental lapse that Benzema could seize on. Benzema, terrifying.
Yeah, that turn around strike that forced a brilliant save out of Mendy was like... Real Madrid did not fashion that chance. Karim Benzema fashioned that chance. He's so good.
He's an incredible player. So much skill there. But... Chelsea maybe catch a break with Marcelo, although I don't necessarily know.
From the first leg, I don't know if like, they were really missing Marcelo.
Same thing with Carvajal, too. I kind of feel like he wasn't fully fit, and Pulisic was getting after him a little bit. So this second leg, Chelsea were a great deal better, considering how wasteful they were. I thought Chelsea had to be perfect. I keep waiting for the ascension to mean to happen. It hasn't happened yet, which is good news, considering the big games. We have a Champions League preview coming up this weekend, and I want just like Andrin, get in there, Gilmore, get in there, fully rotational squad. Kepa, let's get another Kepa.
Pep and Tuchel are like pretty close friends. They should get on a call and be like, hey, 11 changes, 11 changes. Yeah. All right,
the average jersey number that appears in this game needs to be 74. Okay, from both sides, don't show any cards. What a brilliant manager, obviously, first manager to do this.
For Chelsea, Thomas Tuchel has been as valuable an appointment as you could possibly make, right? In terms of where you were
when he's
hired.
This isn't Di Matteo.
It's not. I mean, this feels like it has staying power.
Hopefully it has the same ending.
depending
on what you think the ending was.
Well, ending meaning the coronation of winning the Champions League. But like, so I think we are in game 24 of the new manager bounce, right? The new manager bounce has lasted this long.
Wait. We got the new manager bounce?
Yes.
We never got the new manager bounce. We're always dropping 3 points at Everton.
Yeah, when Duncan Ferguson takes over for a game. So Chelsea's record in all competitions under Thomas Tuchel is 16 wins, 6 draws, 2 losses. That is absolutely incredible. And by the way, one of those losses...
Porto.
Yeah, Porto second leg, 1-0.
And a 10-man team against West Brom.
Right, exactly. Like, that's like...
A game that we were up 1-0 on.
He's been sensational. And like the thing, as you mentioned, like with some players that have been maligned at times, everyone is finding their best selves. playing under Thomas Tuchel, yeah. right? There are a variety of players that can fulfill the roles. You now know, you can probably pick the team that will play in the final for Chelsea at this point, given who Tuchel has trusted.
My question is Pulisic, honestly.
I think he has to play, but I don't know at the expense of who. Like who would like?
I mean, I know Timo was frustrating a lot of people, but
he does a lot of the work that creates those chances.
It's just
yeah.
But okay, like, can if a lesser winger is only going to generate three chances and score on one?
Yeah.
But I have a winger that will. If I tell you, he'll generate like seven in a game. He still may only put away one or zero.
Yeah.
But he's generating seven.
Yeah.
You play a numbers game there, right?
Probably,
that's the analytics.
Yeah.
Infused into the strategy.
You would assume that on a different day, Chelsea could have scored five today. Because they could have. Their XG was like 4.1, which is astronomical.
Don't get me started on that when it comes to Chelsea Football Club. We're just volume shooters.
Oh, but it's not even volume shooters because you're not shooting from... I mean, although Antonio Rudiger does sometimes shoot from 35 yards
green
away.
Green light. Yeah. Neon green. I swear to God. Especially
when those going
to
go in. When are those going to go in?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It already led to a goal because he put so much pace behind those things. It creates havoc. Like, you can't... That's a very tricky ball for a goalkeeper, by the way.
The one that Courtois saved today was spilled. He did not catch it. He did not hang on to it. But either way, like, Chelsea are creating high quality opportunities. They just have to put them away. But I still like. I think Thomas Tuchel deserves an extraordinary amount of credit for creating a system in which every kind of player can fit into it. And it's not just. I mean, you'd say five defenders and two holding midfielders. This is a defensive team. Or they kept 32% possession today. This is a defensive team. It's not. Mm-hmm. It is not a defensive team. They're lethal on the counterattack in terms of creating opportunities. They have good build up. They play with real high quality. They have the bravery to play out. And I think you can never say never, right? Because things change so quickly. But it really does feel like they found a manager that is perfectly suited to this club. And like, if I were Chelsea, I'd be thinking, our long-term future should be with Thomas Tuchel, given the job that he's done. Because you ask the question, is Chelsea good? This Chelsea, under this coach, is great, right? It is a great football team. I mean,
I'm a firm believer in the jinx, Chris.
We're talking about... it was funny because, like, I was thinking this while we were... And I even said to you this morning, we work on the same show, we work on the Dan Le Batard show together. I grabbed you on the shoulders. Are you ready to go to the final today? I was so certain. I said 1-0, they're going through. I'm 100% certain of it. Like, I had this confidence. I wasn't trolling you. I genuinely believe that Chelsea were better than Real Madrid and we're going to get to the final.
And now they match up well with Manchester City.
Yeah, frustrated them in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
They're good. This is a good team.
That or they're the luckiest team ever because
every
pundit says the other team is not offering anything.
Right. Well, that's because
Chelsea
frustrate every opponent that they play.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be 24 games of teams are unlucky not to score against you.
Look, we went into this season on the heels of a very exciting transfer window. These were reshaping moves. These were supposed to be great. And none of them have really worked out the way that we thought they would. And we say that here, appearing in a Champions League final. On the men's side, Kai Havertz, if you were to grade it, you wouldn't give it an A. Timo Werner, if you were to grade it, you wouldn't give it an A. But Thiago Silva gets in there. You get more from Christensen with this managerial move. Eduard Mendy, I'd give that an A+. Your player of the season, Mateo Kovacic, did not feature in the semifinal clash against his former club in Real Madrid. That's a big injury, and Chelsea survive it. Brilliant. Cesar Azpilicueta, older player. That is, I mean, an icon in that Chelsea shirt, a brilliant captain. You look at the team, there's a lot of moving parts here that weren't, they've all dealt with their adversity, Island of Misfit Toys to a degree, and here they are, and those guys are tough. If I'm Manchester City, and I'm looking down the barrel of Thiago Silva, Antonio Rudiger, who does not seem fun to play against. And he does all the cagey things, tucking at shirts when the camera zooms to the other side of it. I love it. Christensen, the AC Penitentiary.
There's a couple more victims.
Yeah, more victims. Christian Pulisic, who brings out American intensity. Wait, do I owe to those who are offended? I'm sorry. It's just, this is not a team that I want to play in a one-game sample. Chelsea got some dogs, man.
Mm-hmm.
They got some dogs. And we'll talk about the women's team now. We'll pivot momentarily, but what Emma Hayes and the culture building has done, we've talked to Chris O'Donnell about it, that American mentality, air quotes, obviously, because there isn't an American on this team right now, right?
Yeah.
Emma Hayes has learned those lessons, and the training ground is an absolute battlefield right now. You have everybody pulling on the same rope, and we've talked to the men's side. players on the men's side about what that locker room is. I mean, players will dip in form, dip in confidence. People are there to pick them up. Kepa and Rudiger have a dust-up on the training ground. I think that's a good thing. To have, like, height of emotion on the training ground, to have people revving that high. Manchester City, it's a different vibe with Pep Guardiola. They're kind of, they've coasted to the Premier League title. This is a rock fight that they're getting into right now. And Manchester City have their own sorted past, right, Chris? You know better than most. Yeah. They're not just playing Antonio Rudiger. Thiago Silva, who is on the verge of weeping every time he concedes a throw-in. They're also playing their own demons. And I think Chelsea are sitting pretty entering this all-English final.
Yeah, and ultimately, Chelsea have the formula that in the past has always tormented Manchester City and did in the FA Cup semifinal, which is in the first 15 minutes of the game, they don't create an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, and they start to feel like, well, then it's never going to happen. Like that happens in the Premier League at home against Crystal Palace sometimes, where they just cannot start to play their game in the way in which they play it. And Chelsea, in the manner in which they can frustrate teams, can very easily do that to Manchester City. And so what happens after that? Manchester City, in years past, have been very vulnerable on the break. But as I mentioned, the Ruben Dias signing has, you know, helped a long way with that.
Player of the season for you?
Probably, yeah. I mean, Kevin De Bruyne is still, I mean, it's still such class, right? That, but like,
yeah, but he wasn't readily available for them.
And like, the thing is that, you know, Phil Foden's had a brilliant season for Manchester City. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got, Riyad Mahrez has closed the season playing incredibly well. But the change had to be on getting hit on the break. And so in terms of lift from year to year, Ruben Dias is the reason why they've gotten better from last year to this year. And it's made John Stones better. Kyle Walker had a great first leg against Kylian Mbappe because all of a sudden, Manchester City are defensively strong again.
Yep.
And like Fernandinho has found the fountain of youth at 36. Like they're defensively strong. And so is that going to withstand this Champions League final? And there is kind of this cliche of a final between two teams from the same country could get cagey, might not be the most entertaining. I think that might be where we're heading because Chelsea are going to be very difficult to break down. And I think Manchester City are going to be difficult to beat on the counter. The question is, if Chelsea do get one of those opportunities, of which there will not be as many as they were in the second leg against Real Madrid, can you put one or two away to end Manchester City's run in this competition?
I've seen some criticism of Zinedine Zidane, and I think some of it's valid. I'm not really sure what Sergio Ramos was doing. I'm not sure what the plan was. I'm not sure if he was just playing into the tactics of Chelsea's manager, Thomas Tuchel, but it was kind of bizarre. And Zinedine Zidane, this is a manager that has excelled in these moments. And it seemed as though he brought a knife to a gunfight a little bit. He was outmatched. And these players, I understand, look, all respect to Real Madrid. You and I have had some private banter. And I may be hyping up the whole sister club thing. And maybe the European Super League changed that dynamic a little bit, but I have the ultimate respect for that team. They are ultimate winners and they are still terrifying. It's the team that defines, to me, the 21st century. Really.
I mean, you
like,
could
it's
argue,
them or Barcelona. I
mean, you could argue that they're the greatest club team of all time.
Yeah.
Of any stripe.
Yeah. And for a young team like Chelsea with players like, God, I have another question that I'll ask you on this note, but to see those players, and they may be at the end of their run, I think you can see that team. And you know the links to Mbappe and Haaland. They obviously need some sort of infusion. You slayed the dragon.
Yeah.
You slayed the team that supposedly entering this is supposed to pick apart the young team and get by with moxie and experience and teach you exactly where you fit in the world. That's what the expectation was. Look, we talked about a Chelsea 1-1 result on the road as if it were a loss. Because these guys are gamers, and they had nothing today.
Yeah.
They had nothing. They wore black socks to their own funeral.
Yeah, I mean, they really did. And again, it also goes back to Chelsea are incredible defensively, and they will shut you down. But I think with Real, one of the reasons why I was confident heading into this second leg is because I'm not always kind of assessing the shirt and the history and the brand and what it means. I'm just kind of watching Real Madrid. This happens to them a lot, where they don't look like they have much going forward. They've got an incredible midfield, but they haven't really kicked on from you know, 14, 16, 17 when they won those Champions Leagues. And it's still kind of the same guys.
Yeah.
And they haven't...
Hazard was supposed to change
right?
That.
They spent a lot of money on Luka Jovic as well, who was meant to change that.
Yeah, bad business.
Eden Hazard, I mean, they brought in a ton of guys. So I think Real have to go again, but you, as a fan, still felt that fear because it's still Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And it's still serial winners throughout the team.
Yeah.
I just think their race as that group has been run.
Hard to argue against it. Now, let's give the Chelsea women their proper due because that was obviously the greatest result in club history. But I think the story here is the combined achievement. And the investment from Roman Abramovich, who, for my money, is the best owner in world sports. I know what that might sound like as a host of Chelsea mic'd up, but this is not a run that you've ever seen before in the history of club football. So let's sing the praises of the women's team individually and their manager and the resources that this club has poured into it, because in the year 2021, Chelsea have accomplished something that has never been done before. Men and women. Champions League finals simultaneously. Not bad for a club that ain't got no history, Chris. They just make history.
Introducing Perfect Play, the most advanced football training app available. Developed with and used by the Chelsea FC Academy. Built with innovative player tracking technology. Featuring masterclasses from some of football's biggest stars. Offering world-class, personalized football coaching. So train with the best and become the player you want to be. Start training for free. Download on the App Store now.
All right, before we give the Chelsea women's team proper attention and respect for their amazing achievement, let's hear from the Chelsea men's side manager, Thomas Tuchel, on this amazing achievement of their own.
Obviously, not easy to create so many big chances, so we did, and played such a strong, such a dominant, such a determined second half. Then you don't score, you don't score again, you don't score again, and then it gets even harder to stay focused, it gets harder to stay positive, it gets harder not to constantly regret it and hang in there, because you're always on the edge to maybe, you never know, maybe one deflected shot, one little mistake, and you end up in a draw suddenly and in a overtime. So to hang in there and to show real mentality, to hang in, to go for second goal constantly, never lose focus. Big performance. I'm impressed, and players are fantastic.
Chris, obviously, we're prisoners of the moment, right? That was mighty impressive what Chelsea did to just get to Istanbul and all-English final. Extraordinary. But over the weekend, I had the bubble guts because I saw one of the most tense football matches of my entire life. Obviously, our history with the women's team has been building and building, and we've been hoping for this. And now they're in this Champions League final against Barcelona. But let's talk about what got them there. Dropping the result in the first leg of the semifinal, 2-1. They got the away goal. So Chelsea score, and you're feeling pretty confident. What was it, 11 minutes in, Chelsea are up, and kind of feels like, all right, maybe I can put this phone down. I was watching on the fifth stand-up again. Guys, come on. Like, let's...
Yeah.
The world needs to know what's going on right
Apple
now.
Apple AirPlay to the television got some work this weekend for me because I was watching it on the app and I screencasted it to the TV, but
I'm a bit frustrated.
It's a Champions League semifinal. Like, this deserves mainstream media coverage on over-the-air television, even in the United States, like, mm-hmm. especially in England and especially in Europe.
Yeah, I was hoping for that, but instead I'm curled up on my bed, sucking my thumb, looking into my iPhone, but it's fine, whatever. It was drama nonetheless. I was invested nonetheless, and the final 15 minutes of this match against Bayern Munich, let's focus on that. From the harder goal, because Bayern Munich scored that away goal that no one really saw coming, and it was a class finish.
Oh my
the
God.
Finishes in the Super League and in the Champions League specifically, they've been like MLS banger level.
Yeah.
If I can show my American bias. And Bayern were absolutely terrifying after Harder scored that goal to give Chelsea the advantage. And dog... Berger, clearances off the line. There were bodies on top of bodies on top of bodies being thrown at the Chelsea goal, including the Bayern Munich goalkeeper, who I was just scared out of my mind. It kind of felt like Bayern Munich were going to get this. And I honestly couldn't wrap my brain around doing the podcast in which Emma Hayes and Chelsea were eliminated being that close. It would have been devastating. I was fearing for them the entire, because I know, you know, from Emma Hayes, not just her reaction post-game where she's tearing up, and tearing up rightfully so, because that was the biggest result in club history. But Frank Kirby scores the empty netter. Like the NHL playoffs, the absolute drama. Scores the empty netter, and it was like Torres vibes, because it was just like I could breathe. You look back on the balance of that game, the Torres goal is kind of meaningless. Once Ashley Cole kind of cleared that, it was fine. It was just like the release of,
yeah,
we got this. Oh my God, we survived. And Torres in history gets built up into this legend because it's an indelible moment
I'm not having that goal. Doesn't mean I understand, like, towards the purpose of the result, it meant nothing. But
don't pay me as a guy that's like Torres goal overrated. It's one of my favorite moments in sport history. But if you look back on the balance,
right,
of the
game, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
it's looked back as if it was like the moment, the indelible moment that won Chelsea the game, yeah, and really it was just we came up for air.
Yeah.
Frank Kirby scoring an empty netter. For her story, well chronicled here on this podcast, go into our archive and listen to two episodes ago where we really delve into it. But for Frank Kirby, understanding what she's gone through physically and her road back and the brilliant run of form, I honestly don't know who the best player in the world is right now in the women's game. I just know they're wearing a Chelsea shirt. It's either Sam Kerr or Frank Kirby. And they're going to a Champions League final against Barcelona. And when you couple it with the men's side, it's an incredible, unprecedented story. But let's focus on what this means for this program here, where Chelsea have plugged in legitimate resources, brought in world record signing Sam Kerr, Pernille Harder, and products that have been there through the suffering. Even it was really cool to see Emma Hayes bringing on her subs, and you see the stories of players that have been there, legacy substitutes that have been through the suffering at the hands of Wolfsburg and at the hands of Arsenal domestically. This is a Chelsea team that has done all the suffering that really the men's side hadn't done just yet. They kind of got the fast pass, and here we are, just happy to be here.
Yeah.
This is the tried and true suffering that is really more associated with teams that make it to a Champions League final, because Manchester City's done more suffering on the men's side than they've done enough for both sides. Chelsea women's has done enough suffering for decades. And here they are in the final, Emma Hayes bringing out a battlefield mentality on that training ground. And yet everyone still holds the same rope and is rooting for each other's success. And now, legitimately, it's sexy, right? We put out the clips on social media, and it's exciting to say they could be the greatest team in the history of world football. And that's an intention grabber. That is a decision on my part. I'm editorializing, but if I can't grab your attention with greatest team ever, I don't know what will, because I'm sure I'm throwing on lofty expectations. Maybe they're not crazy about it, but I'm begging you to watch this team. They are brilliant. They are fun to watch. That's not the greatest game to watch, really. A defensive-minded Champions League game against Real Madrid where I'm hoping for 0-0. This is electric, watching Chelsea Football Club on the women's side, and here they are, and I'm just so happy for each individual. It was funny going through our interview archive on that final 15-minute sequence, that last Bayern Munich attempt where their keeper is bombing into the box, and it deflects off of like three players that we've interviewed on this podcast. And I'm just like, wow, I feel like I've been along for the ride this entire time. I love this team. And it's a credit to Emma Hayes, obviously, who's been there forever. And it's a credit to the players who have stuck it out and didn't cease in the domestic league. They handled the local derby against Tottenham Hotspur. It was a nice little appetizer headed into the Real Madrid game. Brilliance on the field and off. Yet again, the executive board. Man, I sound like such a suck up here, but they really have. It's the investment is. The ROI on this investment is all world, and I really hope that other owners take note, because if you invest in women, you can get results like this and an enduring image with that Frank Kirby goal, Chris Whittingham.
And that last 15 minutes of that tie is everything you want as a sports fan. Not even as a Chelsea fan, just as a sports fan. I didn't sit down for the last 15 minutes. I was stood in front of the television, like jumping, like Sam Kerr in on goal, just misses an opportunity, and I nearly fell to the floor. Because like you said, we've been on the ride with this team. We've talked to some of these players. They're incredible people. They're incredible talents. They're some of the best footballers in the world. Mm-hmm. And the way that that tie ended, and it's funny because you see that they won 4-1, and you go, oh, they coasted through the... No, they did not. No. They did not coast through that final. That was... You talk about the word suffering. I can't even imagine the feeling as a manager, as Emma Hayes, to helplessly watch your team defend off their own line and getting that clearance away. And they could have just as easily just run out the time, but I think it was G who like took an extra touch, rounded a defender, and slid it through so Frank Kirby can have her moment. What a moment that is for her.
Yeah.
To be able to go and finish that off. But you look at, I mean, the next two Sundays, Sunday, May the 9th, 9:30 a.m., Chelsea home to Reading. They can win the WSL.
Reading are... That's no cup of coffee. That is a difficult opponent.
Yeah, they're currently sixth in the WSL. They've provided difficult opposition before. And then the following Sunday in Göteborg in Sweden against Barcelona in the Champions League final. I mean, it's like both teams, men's and women's, do nothing but play monumental matches for the next month. They've done nothing but play monumental matches
exhausting.
For the last month.
We came up for air once, and we were dealing with Super League stuff. it's unreal.
Like scoring an early goal against Fulham constitutes breathing, like coming up for air. But, I mean, Chelsea women deserve every bit of credit. And then on the day that Chelsea men make the final, they beat Spurs by 2-0. Sam Kerr with a brace to send their way closer towards that domestic silverware. And as you said, domestic silverware, European silverware, if they accomplish both, this is one of the best seasons of all time.
No, it is.
Yeah.
The greatest season of all time. It's a measuring stick. Mm-hmm. It's like the Michael Jordan game in the NBA. They become what you measure success up against. The same way Arsenal from a few years ago, where that measuring stick, this is a success we haven't really seen, especially when you apply the context of the women's game is a lot more competitive now because other clubs have started devoting resources to this, and it's only going to get stronger, right? When you have these indelible brands like Chelsea, and Manchester United has realized this, and Manchester City has realized this, you invest in the women's game, you have a leg up on your competition because that badge, it's the same looking shirt, and Americans are going to gravitate to Lavelle. Like, if it's on the back of that shirt, invest in women's sports and you reap the rewards, and it's been a brilliant ride so far. I just love this team so much, and I'm going to be glued to that final. I'm going to be drinking something big and brown during that final. Either way, I really hope they do this because that is a team hang their image up outside of Stamford Bridge, build a shrine to them because they are just great. Let's circle back to the men's team because we have a Champions League final preview, and we've already touched on it there. Let's touch on the Fulham performance. I think we saw some foreshadowing with Kai Havertz, who's coming on a little bit. Again, maybe a little wasteful in that Champions League semifinal game, but earned the start based off of his performance against Fulham. Chelsea, and there's all the ambiguity surrounding the Manchester United-Liverpool game, which maybe would have made us feel a lot better about the result against Fulham, which we entered into it saying, this is a difficult opponent, a sneaky, tough opponent, given what you have to deal with. But Chelsea inch closer towards top three, which gives you a little bit more breathing room. The draw that Leicester suffered at the hands of Southampton. Chelsea now within 2 points of Leicester City in the Premier League, building more of a gulf between them and fifth. Things are looking good for Chelsea, and that's great because entering this FA Cup final, which is hugely important, especially considering the road that you've made through, that you've gone through to enter it. And now the Champions League final, we've seen in years past teams drop results in the lead up to those cup finals. Breathing room is going to be mighty helpful, Chris, because if you drop one of those, now all of a sudden you're looking at a Champions League final that you have to win. And they did it in 2012. We keep talking about tethers to 2012. Chelsea needed to win the Champions League.
I don't think you want that tether to 2012.
It's going to be, it doesn't need that extra juice.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. But where do you think things stand for Chelsea's top four chase here, entering this weekend's clash against Manchester City, which takes on a very weird shape now?
And I mean, I do want to like kind of, you know, say fair play to a pair of teams that aren't teams that we expect to be here. West Ham winning away at Burnley after going 1-0 down. They're just about hanging on to their, you know, competition here, because there is an opportunity if Chelsea do not summon top performances for one of the teams behind them to catch up. Tottenham had another win under Ryan Mason in the Premier League, sweeping aside Sheffield United, as they should. Leicester, as you mentioned, dropping points. They have a game against Newcastle at the weekend.
Oh,
I think if they win that...
How bad do you want this fruit basket, see, Bruce?
But so Chelsea, they have Manchester City, then Arsenal, then the FA Cup final, then Leicester. So
that Leicester
it's Leicester both, actually. Yeah. Leicester in the FA Cup final, then Leicester in the Premier League. So, you know, as much as you're trying to build some margin for error, you could really do with West Ham dropping points. They take on Everton this weekend. You can really do...
Everton need that game badly, too. They're still in this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure they would like to be in Europe, at the very least in the Europa League. So I would imagine that Chelsea can have some margin for error, but they're probably going to have to win either against Arsenal or against Manchester City.
So what do you do from a squad rotation standpoint here entering this game? Does Christian Pulisic start? Because I've been texting with Americans that are trying to look at flights to Istanbul saying, texting me, I don't want Christian Pulisic to play in another game until this final.
No,
because how cool would it be to have an American start potentially in the Champions League final?
I think maybe you just kind of put all your eggs in the Arsenal basket, because, I mean, Man City away... You know, even like they might rotate a bunch of their players, but it's still an immensely difficult game in this season.
Yeah, I had someone in my mentions say London is red. How dare you? How dare you?
You talking about Brentford?
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing right now? Out of my mentions, donkey. Yeah, what are you doing? How do you speak? You don't have a seat at this table right now.
Come on.
You're mad.
But either way, away at Man City.
The neutral trying to calm me down. Don't call people donkey.
Yeah.
I think donkey is like such a swift, efficient insult.
It's appropriate. It's also appropriate. I mean, given any Arsenal fan wanting to say anything right now. Chelsea, home with Arsenal, that's probably the one that you have to win. But away at Man City, if you can get a draw, if it's a 0-0 draw, you're feeling pretty good about that.
Agreement entering Saturday's game.
Right, exactly. It's like, come on, guys.
I kind of feel like Man City have breathing room here.
I don't know, but like this notion that, you know, if you feel your best team, you're giving something away. They see each other every week in the Premier League.
There are no secrets here.
There are no secrets between these two teams. There are no secrets between these two managers. Like,
I mean, do you give... I mean, what shape does Chelsea have entering this game? No one's really cracked this code outside of West Brom.
I think if you're going to make changes, you would field the players that have featured regularly, right? So, like, Pulisic would start, Reece James would start. Maybe you give Marcus Alonso a start.
I want to see Andrin. I want to see Billy Gilmore. Kurzuma.
I mean,
Callum Hudson-Odoi, who's going to be joining us on this podcast next week, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you give as many of those guys an opportunity as you trust right now, but these are still huge games in the Premier League. So unless...
Kepa.
I mean, and also, we have to consider Wednesday to Saturday versus Tuesday to Saturday is a big deal.
Yeah.
We have two full days off. There's going to be a celebration of the achievement of the Champions League. So whatever you can. But I think Chelsea should put their best foot forward with the players that are fit and available. Like, I don't think it should be, you know, like bring in the, you know, like the players who haven't featured for
Giroud?
A while.
Giroud, please.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know.
Giroud for Arsenal, please.
I think you have to pick the best fit and available team for every game for the remainder of this season, because every game is that important.
All jokes aside, I tend to agree with you here, Chris. Top four, look, Manchester City is a tremendous team, and you can't take that game for granted. Not that they would. It's a European final, obviously. But you got to go into every game here trying to get 3 points. If you win this one against Manchester City, I think we can breathe a little easier. Okay, so we have a men's team that's in the Champions League final. We have a women's team that's in the Champions League final. If I pulled you aside, Chris, even as a neutral, and I said, second season in Chelsea mic'd up.
Could it have gone any better?
On Cinco de Mayo. And we're about to crack open one last beer to celebrate, my friend, because this has been good. We're in the Chelsea business, and son, business is a booming. This is an absolute dream for me in creating content with you, my friend, and all the great stuff that we've done here on this podcast, and really being a bridge to the audience and Chelsea supporters, and letting them know not just the men's side, because obviously you came here for a reason, right? And you're familiar with that, but telling these stories, and we hope to do it again with Callum Hudson-Odoi. We're very excited about that. And thanks to our partners there. It's been difficult. It was difficult in January, where it felt really unsettled, and we were all reconciling with this manager that I beloved. And I know many in this listening audience can understand how difficult that was for all of us.
And I actually was thinking about him today because
he's gotten some credit.
No, well, he's gotten some credit, but also, like, I was watching Mason Mount and, like, the smile on his face talking to television.
Like, he sounds like Frank.
But I saw him and I saw the joy, and I can only imagine if Frank Lampard could have achieved this.
Yeah.
The joy that would have radiated off of his face. And he absolutely deserves credit for laying
and
the foundation.
And I know that I know he's watching back, and it must be awkward for him to watch, because I'm sure he was fantasy booking in his mind. Like, could have been me, obviously. But given the investment that he made in these players, you got to imagine being a true Chelsea legend, how thrilled he was watching at home. It was absolutely thrilling to watch for us, and he's a true blue. And I think I really like what the media was doing out in the UK, saying he's got a fingerprint all over this team with that pathway from the academy to see. Look, I've been on the record, and I'm not the biggest fan of ESPN FC's Chelsea tweets, but for them to put that image of Christian Pulisic, that one random day that he found himself at Cobham training ground with Mason Mount, and then them sliding towards the corner flag, here they are in their early 20s. You're just boys. You don't know anything. And here they are together. That's Frank Lampard, man. Frank Lampard was at the helm while Christian Pulisic rediscovered himself and had the confidence in Project Restart and carried them across the line. That was Frank Lampard that handed them the number 10. That was Frank Lampard that was with Mason Mount at Derby County. That was Frank Lampard that we went through the suffering, through the dips in clinical finishing with Mason Mount to this player that he is now, which is player of the season for both of us, I think. Credit to him. Credit to the club for making that tough decision. Credit to Thomas Tuchel for making them not live to regret that decision. Credit to the players that, against all odds, have found themselves here against Pep Guardiola and a Manchester City team that's run away with the domestic league. Credit to M. Hayes. Credit to Frank Kirby. Credit to Sam Kerr. Listening audience, till we speak again, up the Chelsea and up the two-time European Champions League finalist in Chelsea FC men, Chelsea FC women. Brilliant job by everybody. I'm so excited about this team. I love this team. I can't wait to record another episode. Emergency pod tomorrow? You want to do it?
Let's
just
do it.
Emergency pod. Hey, I'm so excited. 5-star review.